NPR.
So, Stacey, how many Zoom calls have you been on today, not counting this one?
So many Zoom calls. That's all I do all day is stare at my face and other people's faces on Zoom.
I hear you. And multiple estimates say that out of all the online conferencing software, Zoom is the most popular. Last year, its mobile app was downloaded 485 million times. It's like become the generic name for something like Jacuzzi or Scotch Tape. And that is huge for a brand. But there is a mystery afoot. I'm Sally Herships.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith on Tenterhooks. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. The global market for conferencing software is worth $8.7 billion. And there are all these huge players vying for that money. I mean, like Google has 120,000 employees. Microsoft has over 150,000 workers. Zoom has just a few thousand. It's pretty tiny. Zoom should never have beaten out its mammoth competition. So how did it do it? Today on the show, a David and Goliath tale of technology.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Saver Card. You earn unlimited 4% back on dining, entertainment, and popular streaming, and 3% back at grocery stores. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, making investing in private real estate as easy as investing in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. Build a more diversified portfolio today at Fundrise, FUNDRISE.com/indicator.
Wayne Kurtzman is a research analyst who covers social conference platforms like Zoom. So he spends a lot of time thinking about why some companies are more successful than others.
What Zoom did right was something really, really simple. It focused on delivering happiness. And that sounds so esoteric and so non-business that it's perfect.
Okay, wait a second. I have to push back a tiny bit here because as somebody who has spent like a great deal of the pandemic on Zoom, I don't know how happy Zoom makes me.
Maybe a lot happier than not having Zoom.
Zoom's mission statement is to, quote, make video communication frictionless. And its philosophy is, quote, delivering happiness. For a lot of us, especially during the pandemic, video conferencing has delivered a lot of happiness. I mean, it has been a way to see friends, loved ones, family that you just could not see in person. It's also been a way to keep your business going.
But let's be honest, there is kind of a love-hate thing going on with online conferencing. It does not always make us happy, so we are going to circle back to this later.
I will hold you to that, Sally Herships, because we have things to discuss. But in the meantime, Wayne says when the pandemic was at its height, it was this very particular, really difficult time. And he says Zoom offered video conferencing that didn't create, you know, another source of stress.
It just works. There are only about 7 buttons maximum on any given screen. It just works. And that's actually why we use a lot of Google and a lot of the things we use. When it just works, we're happy.
Still, there are these other enormous companies that offer similar services, and Zoom managed to beat them, like Cisco and Google. So let's look at their mission statements, too. Let's start with Cisco's, because Eric Yuan, Zoom CEO, used to work there. Stacey, would you please read Cisco's mission statement?
Absolutely. Here it is. Quote, to inspire new possibilities for our customers by reimagining their applications, securing their data, transforming their infrastructure, and empowering their teams.
How are you feeling?
Lost. happiness. I choose happiness, Sally. And Eric reportedly says that when he worked at Cisco, he, quote, did not see a single happy customer. I mean, granted, he's now the competition, so you might have to take that with a grain of salt, but still. And it is true that Zoom has all these really fun features. For instance, you know, I'm talking to you now from the surface of Mars. I could have a mustache if I wanted to, or there's like skin smoothing technology to make you look like young and fabulous.
This is all true, but sometimes these special effects can backfire, which is exactly what happened to this lawyer in Texas who had what you might call a tiny little mishap during virtual court. And you need to know his filter was a cat.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to...
Can you hear me, Judge?
So if somehow you missed this video, it's epic. It's like this little huge kitten face. It's so sweet with like little folded down ears and this giant rolling eyes, and the little kitten's mouth is moving along with the lawyer. So you have like these two very serious men sort of peering into their cameras and this cat talking to them.
I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
It's amazing. I mean, it's like, in my opinion, one of the best things to come out of 2020. Anyway, back to Cisco, which does not have a cat filter. When Eric left Cisco and founded Zoom, he decided to make happiness key. And Wayne, the analyst, says, don't be skeptical. The strategy worked.
Even talking to a lot of the folks who are working at Zoom, it wasn't just something on the board that they followed. It really had a different way that they handle customers.
But of course, we can't really keep talking about Zoom's big win without looking at one of its biggest contenders, the 800-pound gorilla, Google. Google, you know, basically owns us all. We use Gmail and calendars and Google Maps. And, you know, Google has its own video conferencing software, Google Meet, also Google Hangouts. So let's look at Google's mission statement. Here it is, quote, to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. Oof, it's not feel, I'm feeling nothing, I'm dead inside.
But to be fair, Google has been organized. It's been trying to dominate the conferencing market. But unlike Zoom, Google is a giant company. It wants you to use all of its different products and services. So it inadvertently put this speed bump in place.
One of the challenges Google threw up there, and any barrier at this time perhaps is one too much, is that you actually had to use a Gmail address.
Also, if you were a paying Google Meet customer, you can't just buy Google Meet. You have to buy a package. And this is where Zoom won out again. Not only did Zoom make an effort to be easy to use, but it was also easy to buy, which in terms of business strategy sounds almost comically obvious. But again, during all that disruption when the pandemic hit, some of these conferencing software companies were forcing potential customers to talk to a sales rep first, and there could be a wait of multiple weeks to do that.
To be fair, Google video conferencing has done really well. And of course, Ellie, you know, Zoom has had its issues. It has not been totally smooth sailing. Security was a pretty major issue for a while. I don't know if you remember people Zoom bombing, like strangers showing up in meetings. And that's a problem if you're trying to have some kind of secure conversation. Wayne says Zoom has solved the problem. And he said there was a very good reason that it jumped on that issue so quickly.
Trust, as it's often said, is earned in drops and lost in buckets.
That makes sense, but we can't talk about Zoom without talking about the other kind of happiness, like the kind I feel draining from my soul after a day of staring at a webcam.
Oh my God.
Zoom fatigue is real.
Oh my gosh. The amount of my brain devoted to like worrying about flyaway hair has like quintupled the last year. I spent so much of my time when I'm supposed to be talking about economics wondering like if my hair has been doing that all day. It's a problem.
All right, but still, I think we have to just admit that video conferencing is probably here to stay. It can make life better in so many ways.
Yeah, it definitely can. But I think I'm gonna go ahead and turn my camera off right now, Sally.
This episode was produced by Dave Blanchard. It was fact-checked by Michael Ha and edited by Kate Kincannon. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
P.S. I am not a cat.
What happens to police officers who get caught stealing, lying, or tampering with evidence? Each week, we open up an internal affairs investigation that used to be secret, to find out how well the police police themselves. Listen to On Our Watch, a podcast from NPR and KQED.